Hi, it's Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Earl Lawrence, who's Vice President of Industry and Regulatory Affairs for EAA. And Earl, there's a huge, huge deadline looming for your members at the end of this month. And I'm sure they're all familiar with what the FAA is doing with the 51% rule, but why don't you enlighten us even more?
Well, you know, I'm not so sure everyone really is aware of the deadline. I mean, here, the end of September is our deadline to comment to what the FAA plans to do for how we certificate amateur-built aircraft going forward. And, you know, the thing we're really concerned here is that some of the things the FAA has planned will adversely affect, reduce the ability of people to build their aircraft the way they've been building that. And everyone really should care about that. I mean, whether it's not just our members, but home builders and people even who fly standard category aircraft, because, you know, home built are 10% of the entire U.S. fleet now, and they're probably about a third of the new airplanes produced every year. And if we have a reduction there, that's less engines sold, that's less accessories, propellers, avionics, and everything that goes along with it. And that's a big chunk of our general aviation infrastructure. We don't want to have hurt, as it hurts all of us. And we need our members and anybody who's interested in the subject to write in and write in now. And, you know, really we're asking people, tell the FAA, enforce the current regulations. They don't need to create additional barriers to participating in aviation, to being a home builder, to producing great new innovative aircraft for people to get out and fly for fun.
Okay, so what are the fundamental threats in the proposed regulations?
The fundamental threat in all of this is really an overcomplication. It's what they're calling a new requirement, and this is adamantly a new requirement, even though the FAA says it's not, and that is to require a 20% calculation of, quote, fabrication. And what does that mean? You know, that's what we all want to know. And that's a, you know, what's fabrication, what's assembly, and what's the differentiations between these things? And when we look at the base regulation, what it says is that the majority of the aircraft has to be constructed by amateurs, those people who did not do this for compensation and hire. It could be a whole bunch of people, could be a class, whatever it may be, but they built it for themselves and for their own fun. And now we have to have this new requirement that a certain specific percentage was fabrication. Now, apply this to composite aircraft, for example, or you know, looking at that. And what the FAA, how the FAA defines fabrication can be a key issue here. They may not count gluing parts and doing you know, certain layups and certain connections together on your composite aircraft as fabrication. What is fabrication when you have pre-molded parts? Is that assembly? And why should we even bother calculating these percentages? The key thing is the FAA has approved for many, many years, at least since 1982, kits that are on what the 51% approved list. And if the FAA has said those aircraft are eligible for an amateur-built certificate, why do we need to add an additional requirement now? Could you imagine being out in the field and you bought a kit that the FAA said qualified, and now you have to figure out that and prove to the FAA that you have done 20% of the fabrication of that aircraft somehow? You know, what does that mean, and how is that going to be done, and who's going to check these kind of a things? Just brings up a whole lot of complications and a whole lot of questions, all because they were concerned that people were hiring others to build the airplane for them. And, you know, what's the connection between those two things? If people are hiring people to build them an aircraft for hire, for profit, that's not an amateur-built aircraft, and the FAA should enforce that regulation.
Right. Okay, so how does everybody go about making a comment? I mean, there are probably a lot of people who have never actually been through that process before.
You know, oh, absolutely. And this is really a different process, because those people who have been through this process before may have remembered making comments to a particular FAA rulemaking, and this is not considered rulemaking the way the FAA has structured this. And, you know, first and foremost, I suggest people to go to the EAA website and look at the stories where we have sample letters on how to respond and, how, you know, where to write, and lots of information that will help you put together the letters. But to be very specific, you're writing an individual at the FAA. This isn't going into a Federal Register docket. We are writing directly to Miguel Vasconcelos, and that's Vasconcelos at AIR 200 at 800 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C. 20591. And you simply write Mr. Vasconcelos your comments, tell him what you think about the proposal that the FAA has. But again, you can go to the EAA website, you can learn a lot about what that proposal is, you can look at the specific information, and it'll be a big help to anybody interested in defending our ability to continue to build amateur-built aircraft as we have for so many years, and to, you know, share the information of how important it has become to the overall aviation industry.
Okay, well, it should be interesting to see how it all unfolds and what the FAA, what Mr. Vasconcelos does with this mountain of letters that he's sure to get. So,
well, there's new stuff on that. In fact, the FAA is reconstituting the amateur-built aviation rulemaking committee. Even the rulemaking is deceiving there. And they're calling back those of us who helped participate earlier and to look at all the comments everyone made and to help disposition and help guide the FAA on the final decisions that they'll be making. And so they're inviting us back in October. And that would be that group of kit manufacturers and EAA and a few of the, you know, FAA inspectors and some DARS and a few others to come back and look over these comments and make an additional series of suggestions to the FAA on how to develop the final policy.
So I guess fundamentally it seems like writing a letter could actually make a difference in this process, that the FAA is going to take this stuff into consideration.
Absolutely. I can't stress that more. You know, well thought out letters really make a difference, and people have already made a difference. Those who came to Oshkosh and sat in some of these forums and made comments, we had a forum specifically with the FAA, and the FAA changed their mind on several things, not because we're making an argument for argument's sake, but because builders and average people were pointing out, this is what your means. This is how this will actually work in the field. This is how it will affect me, a average home builder out in the field, if you do this. And, you know, so it's really an education process. And the more information, the more education we can provide to the FAA about how this will actually affect people out in the field, the more likely they are to develop a final policy that will be favorable to everybody who wants to continue building within the regulation.
Okay, well, we'll be keeping an eye on it, of course, Earl, and I thank you very much for your time today. Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb.